ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय ॐ नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय ॐ नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 391. Before I go to that, I will backtrack over a few names prior to this because in discussing them, I didn't give the commentary of our own Gaurya Acharya, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan. So Vyavasaya, this means that's commonly translated as business. So Baladev Vidyabhushan gives that the final conclusion of all Vedic literature is that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the serious business of life can be understood through the Vedas, the business of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is to establish Vaidaischa Sarvairahameva Vedyaha, that the object of knowledge in the Vedas is Krishna himself. Samsthan, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning of this. The word Samsthan has a very many meanings according to the dictionary. Baladev Vidyabhushan states that he is eternally youthful and the entire cosmic manifestation enters into him at the time of annihilation. Sthanada, he gives his devotees the most desirable destination of eternal residence in the spiritual world. So we may wonder whether or not we will go back to Godhead, but we should know that Krishna will give us what we deserve, and for his devotees will give us more. No one deserves to go back to Godhead, but Krishna, we can't say now I've qualified myself to go back to Godhead, but Krishna, he will take his devotees back to Godhead. He gives them a place in the spiritual world. Dhruv, I discussed that he becomes the submissive follower of his pure devotee by his fixity in his promise to uphold his devotee. And coming to today's, or the first thing I'm going to discuss today, Parardhi, name 391, Riddhi, this means opulence. We already had the discussed the name Riddha, one who is full of all opulence. And this this name Parardhi, Para means other or supreme. So this indicates that the opulences that the Supreme Lord has, they are of a completely different quality to the opulences of this world, the transcendental opulences. So Parardhi means he who is endowed with all transcendental opulence. And this is one of those key names or key points of understanding which gives us a clue to the whole subject of Vishnu Sahasranam, which is describing the qualities of the Lord. Sri Parashara Bhatta, The Sri Vaishnava commentator, his commentary is called Bhagavad Guna Darpana, a mirror to reflect the qualities of the Lord. Now we're discussing via the medium of Vishnu Sahasranama the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that make him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be the Supreme Lord doesn't just mean to be the most powerful, but all auspicious qualities are within him. Now, that they are of a different quality, parārati, means supreme or transcendental qualities. This is a key point to understand it. That although we use the same word in English or Sanskrit or whatever language we may be discussing, we use the same words for material qualities and for spiritual qualities, there is a distinct difference. For instance, many people think that in the modern age, the symbol of compassion is Mother Teresa. But from the transcendental perspective, we can understand that her compassion has no value whatsoever. It's a perverted reflection of actual compassion. Because actual compassion means the desire to do good for others. But if one has no relationship with Bhagavan, with Vishnu, and he doesn't know that helping others means to re-establish them in their real position of service to Krishna. So any qualities which are considered good in this world, they actually are not good at all. They only reinforce our bondage in material existence. In material consciousness, we think that being good means to help people in their endeavor to forget Krishna and enjoy this material world. So that's not good at all. It might seem to be good to give money to a drunkard so that he can drink. Or it might seem to be better to institute some program by which the drunkard can stop drinking. That might seem to be an even better way. But even if we can help the drunkard stop drinking, still he is addicted to material sense gratification in a way which is maybe not as destructive, in other ways that are not as destructive as his imbibing alcoholic beverages. So real good is to give Krishna to others, to connect people with Krishna, because Krishna is all good, and our real benefit lies in Krishna. Therefore, yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunais tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahanguna manorathena sati dhavato bahihi. The conclusion is that a person who has complete devotion to Krishna, with no diversion to anything else, who is not desiring anything else, in such a person all godly qualities reside, whereas in the person of someone who has no devotion to Krishna, who is not a devotee of Krishna, even if they're advertised and worshipped as being very saintly people, they actually have no good qualities whatsoever, in the true sense of the term. So it's very important to understand that these qualities of Krishna, when we're talking about the qualities of Krishna, it's not that Mother Teresa or someone has these qualities and then Krishna has them maybe a little bit more. But Krishna has actually true qualities, and those are reflected in his devotees. And they also may be reflected in non-devotees, but in a perverted form. So it's very important to understand this point. Therefore, practically we can say the major subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita, beginning from the beginning, very first instructions, and throughout the whole Gita, is distinguishing spirit from matter. First of all, distinguishing the body from the soul, and going on discussing the three modes of material nature, discussing the transcendental situation, without this, then we're in ignorance. We take asatyare satya korimani. People who are in ignorance, they take that which is not real to be real, and that which is real to be unreal. And in such a situation, then whatever endeavors such persons may make, they all end in unreality, which means asat achit nirananda, ends in destruction, foolishness, and distress. This essential point to understand, what is the difference between spirit and matter? And then we can begin to appreciate the qualities of Krishna. One of the names which comes in this same verse, Vyavasthan, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning of that he is endowed with innumerable, eternal, transcendental qualities. So although Riddhi means, it actually means wealth, but it can be understood to mean all the qualities of Krishna. We often hear the term, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita and related literatures, Prema Dhan. Related literatures means the Gaurya Vaishnav, Padavali, and others. So Golokera Prema Dhan, Harinama Sankirtan. Wealth doesn't just mean money, but it means everything that enriches one's life. And for a devotee, a devotee is not very much interested in money per se, but a devotee is interested in serving Krishna, is enriched with love of Krishna, service to Krishna, that he takes as his real wealth. Dhanmar Nityananda, again Narottam Das sings, that my wealth is Nityananda, not anything else. So that Krishna is the best, the most excellent, he himself is the supreme wealth. This is the subject matter of Vishnu Sahasranam and of all the Vedic literatures. But not everyone is qualified to understand this. Now, Sri Parashara Bhatta and his disciplic followers, they particularly emphasize that this name is pertinent to Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan, who appeared in this world to demonstrate what are the perfect qualities for all human beings. He himself is the Maryada Purushottam. He is the form of the Supreme Lord, whose very nature is to be the perfect person as understood from human society. He is the very embodiment of dharma. In the very beginning of Ramayana, the question arises, who in the world embodies all good qualities? Valmiki, Narada. So the answer is that it is Rama, the son of Dasharath, who has Gambhirya like an ocean. He is grave and deep, deep, very deep like an ocean. That means an ocean, you can just see the surface, but we cannot imagine how deep it is. So in the same way, we can see Rama. Here is the picture of Rama with the name of Krishna underneath here on the wall. Here's a picture of Rama. So we can see him and appreciate his transcendental beauty, but how deep are his qualities, how deep is his nature, how deep is his love for his devotees? We cannot fathom it. That's a good word in relation to an ocean, fathom it. He has the dharya, the patience of Himavan, so the patience, stolidity of the great Himalaya mountains, that even if they just remain firm and fixed, they're not disturbed by anything. So this the example is given. He has the sweet appearance, very pleasing to see, like the moon. The energy, power and heroism of Vishnu. Of course, he is Vishnu. He has anger also, like his anger, when he becomes angry, then it's like the fire burning at the time of the universal destruction. He has the patience of, again, or tolerance of Mother Earth. Mother Earth tolerates that people will walk on her, they will drill and mine and her. She's very tolerant. So he's tolerant like a mother, and the greatest of mothers in this regard is Mother Earth. Then, these are just some examples. He has the renunciation of Kuber. That's an interesting one, because we think he's very rich, but then he's not very attached to that. And he has the truthfulness of Dharma, Dharma Deva, the God in this world of Dharma. Then another understanding, that Parardhi means another kind of riddhi, or another means transcendental opulence. And para also means others. So one who sees others' opulence, or others' fulfillment, or others' welfare, who's always thinking of that, or who fulfills others, that is Parardhi. So also with Lord Ram, he was, after crowning Vibhishana as king of Lanka, then Rama, he felt fulfilled by doing that. He becomes fulfilled by fulfilling his own word and making others opulent. As a good king, when the citizens are happy, he feels happy like a father who feels pleasure in the happiness of his child. So in this way, this and the next 18 names are described by the Sri Vaishnava commentators, particularly in relationship to Lord Rama. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, for the first time in this Kali Yuga as it's known, he described Vishnu Sahasranama in regard to the qualities of Lord Krishna. The qualities of Lord Krishna are described throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here is a list of them from chapter 16 of the first canto of Bhagavatam, in which the deity of the earth describes that in Krishna reside truthfulness, cleanliness, intolerance of another's unhappiness, the power to control anger, self-satisfaction, straightforwardness, steadiness of mind, control of the sense organs, responsibility, equality or equanimity, tolerance, equanimity, faithfulness, knowledge, absence of sense enjoyment, leadership, chivalry, influence, the power to make everything possible, the discharge of proper duty, complete independence, dexterity, fullness of all beauty, serenity, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, magnanimity, determination, perfection in all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment, joyfulness, immovability, fidelity, fame, worship, pridelessness, being. He exists as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eternity and many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never to be separated from him. So this we should understand. When we're talking of Krishna, we're talking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So who is that form of the Lord who is particularly invested with all transcendental opulences? Parashara Bhatta and the other Sri Vaishnava commentators, they will say Lord Rama. And Gauriyas will say Krishna. And the Madhvas will say that we shouldn't make any distinction. So there are different approaches. Some see Rama as supreme because he is the embodiment of all that is good, all that is to be emulated. Krishna's transcendental qualities, they can be appreciated in a somewhat different way to those of Lord Rama. Rama acted as the ideal human, and Krishna acted in a manner even beyond that of the ideal human. He acted as the Supreme Lord, because there is a difference between the Supreme Lord and the jivas. There is a fundamental difference. It's not that Krishna is more powerful. Everyone is powerful. Every living being has some power. And Bhagawan has unlimited power. Everyone has some possessions, and Bhagawan has unlimited possessions. Everyone has some beauty. He has unlimited beauty. But apart from having all qualities infinitely compared to the infinitesimal manifestation of them in each jiva, there is one, the whole nature of Bhagawan is fundamentally different to that of the jivas, inasmuch as he is the enjoyer. and they are enjoyed. He is the master, and the jivas are meant for serving him. So it might appear that Krishna acts in ways that are immoral, but actually it's not possible that Krishna can be immoral, because whatever he does is right, axiomatically. He is the center. What is right is what he wants. We may see some reflection of that in some despot, that what he wants is what is right. For instance, some despotic ruler may just be going on the street and he sees some beautiful woman and he just takes her, and she's already married, but that doesn't matter to him. He just takes her, and this is what Ravana was doing. And in Ravana's kingdom, whatever Ravana does is right. It's not, you can't argue with him. And those who are living with him, they just accept it, yeah? Might makes right. He's the most powerful, and he just collects all the beautiful women from here and there, and he enjoys them. So according to the mentality of the followers of Ravana, what Ravana is doing is right. Why? Because he's in control. And if you don't agree with it, then you're dead. He'll kill you. You have to agree with it. So that's true in a cosmic sense with Krishna, but there is a great difference. There is a great difference in as much as what Ravana does makes the world lament. That's the very meaning of his name. He is, by enjoying the world, he gives pain to others. And that's the nature of enjoying within this world. Everyone who tries to enjoy in this world does so by exploiting others. But Krishna, his lila, by enjoying, there's not only is there no harm to others, but there is all good to others. Ananda chinmaya rasapati bhavita bistabhiri evanijurna. Ananda chinmaya rasatmataya manasu yat praninam patipalam smaratam upetya. Lilayitena bhuvanani jayat jajasram govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Krishna dominates this world by his lila, which is ananda chinmaya rasamay. It is fully spiritual, fully blissful, manifestation of spiritual rasa, that which gives rise to wonderment, that is remembered in the minds of saintly persons. By remembering Krishna's pastimes, even those which are apparently immoral, such as stealing the clothes of the gopis, persons become saintly. This is an essential point, that Krishna's immorality, apparent immorality, demonstrates that he is Bhagavan. More than his vinashayata dushkritam, than his destruction of the demons, that a king may do to destroy the evil-minded people. But Krishna, by enjoying, apparently in an immoral way, demonstrates that he is the Supreme Lord, because he is the only one who can do such a thing without being culpable. Not only is it not wrong, but it is the supreme right. It is supremely proper that Krishna take the clothes of the gopis. That has to be understood by understanding who is Krishna, who are the gopis, who are we in relationship with Krishna. So the divine qualities of Krishna they may not be easily understood. Actually, they should be easily understood, and that's the subject of the next name, another very important name, which is Paramaspashta, which means supremely clear. It is obvious that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, isn't it? Well, not to everyone. Most people don't realize that at all. Nahang prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita muro yang nabijanati loko mama jamavyayam. Krishna says, not everyone knows me. Not everyone understands me. I am covered by my mystic potency, by which even though I am obviously the Supreme Lord, but those who are not devotees, they cannot appreciate it. There's a verse in this regard from the Stotra Ratnam of Yamuna Acharya, which I'll just find out. Tramshila Rupa Charitai Parama Prakrishtai Satvena Satvikataya Prabalaischa Shastrai Prakhyata Daiva Paramata Vidang Mataischa Naivasara Prakritaya Prabhavanti Bhutam. He says, Yamuna Acharya, in praising Krishna, he says that your personality, qualities, form, activities are all most excellent. And they are the very clearly and strongly described in that part of Shastra, which is meant for and appreciated by persons in the quality of sattva-guna, the aspect of material nature which is tends to our actual existence or goodness. And it's all prakhyata, it's clear, it's obvious, your transcendental qualities. It's clear and obvious to persons who are aware of the spiritual nature. But those who are of the nature of demons, they can never understand it. So actually, it's completely clear that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Krishna performed so many pastimes which clearly indicate that he is the Supreme Lord. Everything about Krishna makes it clear that there's no one like him, asamaurdhva. No one is equal to him, no one is greater than him. But those who are demoniac, they can't appreciate at all. Nevertheless, the actual fact is that it's completely clear that he is the Supreme Lord, and if anyone doesn't see that, well, that's their own foolishness. Just like we may say, the sun is shining very brightly. And if we go outside this hall, or even if we just look out the back and we can see the sun is shining very brightly, but there may be a group of blind people, and they say, well, what sun shining brightly? We don't see any sun shining brightly. There may be a large group, and among themselves they may be convinced that there's no sun shining brightly, but that is their defect. Actually, it's clear that the sun is shining brightly. If those who don't see it, there may be many of them, but that is their defect. Otherwise, anyone with normal vision can understand that the sun is shining brightly. So, For anyone in normal consciousness, it's clear that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Unfortunately, everyone in this material world is in abnormal consciousness, and therefore they don't see. And they think that when there are many people together with the same kind of consciousness, they think that, well, that's normal. In a group of drunkards, they think that, well, to be a drunkard is normal and good. In a group of thieves, they think to be a thief, well, that's just great. So in this material world, everyone is forgetful of Krishna and they think, well, that's just normal. And to think of Krishna, that's something very strange. But actually, the normal position, the proper position, is to just accept what is completely clear, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And we find some examples are given in the pastimes of Lord Rama, that when Mandodari, she first saw Rama after Rama had killed Ravana. So she said, from Ramayana, Vyaktame shamaha yogi paramatma sanatana. She said, it's obvious, it's manifest, it's completely clear that this person is the Supreme Lord, this eternal personality of Godhead. She could understand it. Ravana couldn't understand it. She understood just by seeing him. It must be the Supreme Lord. Tara, Bali's wife, when she saw Lord Ram, she also said, Tvam apramayascha durasadascha manusha dehabhyutam vihaya divyena dehabhyadhyayena yuktaha. She immediately understood that you are the immeasurable person appearing as a human kshatriya with weapons, but possessing all divine transcendental qualities. Sumitra, his co-mother, that suryasyapi bhavet surya. He's more bright or more sun-like than the sun. How shall we prove that the sun is shining in the sky? What proof do we need? Well, just look and see. There's no other proof needed. This is clear and obvious. It's not a point of discussion or debate. The sun is shining in the sky. It's not something to be doubted. It's completely obvious. So in the same way, it's just completely obvious, or should be, that Krishna is that person who is endowed with all transcendental qualities, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To people who are sane, it's just completely obvious. There's actually no need of discussing this way, that way. There should be no need. But because people are in Maya, they can't understand what is obvious. And we can imagine that for someone who's blind or for someone who's just stubborn and doesn't want to accept it, it's very difficult to convince them that the sun is shining brightly in the sky. If due to some previous sinful activity someone is blind and they can't see, or if due to some foolishness and stubbornness one refuses to admit it, then it's very, very difficult to convince or to make such people understand that which is obvious, that the sun is shining in the sky. So in the same way, although it's completely clear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's very difficult to convince people who, due to their previous sinful activities, have neither the intellectual nor the emotional ability to accept this. Nevertheless, there is no doubt that it is completely clear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the qualities in Vishnu Sahasranam point to this. Everything about Krishna described in Shastra points to this. Or if you like, Lord Rama, who are non-different, but somewhat different also. So others, references to Lord Rama's explicit greatness, in other words, that it is clear that he is so great, he is being referred to as Pungsang Drishti Chitta Paharinam. That it's very clear that he is that person who delivers the consciousness Rupa Samhananam Lakshmim Tadrishur Vismitakaraha. By his very form, he makes his Lakshmi becomes astonished even by seeing his form. So by his clear and obvious greatness, the one commentator states that Bharat, it wasn't just because Rama was his eldest brother that he did not accept the rulership of the kingdom, but it was just obvious to him that Rama is the king, he is the qualified one, and for me to take kingship is not at all proper in the presence of he who is so much clearly and obviously qualified to be the king. And therefore Bharat refused. Well, he, as in a token manner, he accepted the kingship. Similarly, Lakshman, he gave up sleep and practically gave up eating and sleeping for 14 years. Why? On one level, it may be said a service to the older brother, but that's exceptional. Exceptional, why? Because Lakshman was enchanted by the qualities of Lord Rama, by which he felt impelled to serve. Because Lakshman is simultaneously the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in the role of a devotee, he felt impelled, or he was impelled by the divine qualities of Lord Rama to serve him most selflessly. Hanuman, similarly, as soon as he saw Lord Rama, then he was impelled to dedicate everything, his whole life, his whole energy, everything to serving him. Although Hanuman was he was already the servant of another, of Sugriva, but actually his life became, just by seeing Ram, then it was clear to him, yes, this is where I have to give my service. And his whole life, from then on, there was nothing in his life but service to Lord Rama. Another meaning by interpreting the Sanskrit in a different way is that of Paramaspashta, is that he who binds everything most excellently, everything is bound together, held together. That point I just discussed recently in a previous name. So, Hare Krishna. I'll stop there unless there's any question. Yes.
Vishnu
Sahasranam describes qualities of Lord Vishnu. Not so much in favor of the glory of Vaishnavas. Well, Baladev Vidyabhushan gave a commentary on it. He gave a commentary on it and relating the names especially to Krishna.
Now there are other quotations. Please. That present Lord Krishna as having a name that is more potent or superior to the name of Lord Vishnu. Like for instance, Lord Shiva says, Parvati, that why you are chanting Vishnu Sahasranam before taking prasadam, that takes too much time. He said that you can chant 3 times the name of Lord Rama, that would be better. Then there's another quotation that says that in other shastra, that the name, one name of Lord Vishnu is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. Whereas 3 names of Rama is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. One single name of Krishna is equal to the Vishnu Sahasranam. Then my question was that there is another Sahasranam that is also well known, and that is in some of the Vrindavan temples they recite daily.
Which one? You mean Gopal Sahasranam. Yeah. That's not so wide. It used to be. I used to see sometimes Maharadis would chant that, Gopal Sahasranam. So why bother with Vishnu Sahasranam at all? Well, we could ask Baladev Vidyabhushan, our Acharya, why he bothered with it. We could ask Bhaktivinoda Thakur why he said that in the Mahabharata there are two great sections. One is Bhagavad Gita and one is Vishnu Sahasranama. We can chant Vishnu chanting Vishnu Sahasranama 3 times is said to be equivalent to chanting the name of Krishna once, because Krishna, this name includes all the qualities that are stated in Vishnu Sahasranama, but going through Vishnu Sahasranama in this way helps us to know what those qualities are and to then to be more appreciative of Krishna. So it's not that we reject all this. In that sense, we could reject a lot of the Bhagavatam also, which describes Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma. But by understanding that Krishna is Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, and all the other forms, then we become more appreciative of Krishna, which is perhaps why Sri Jayadev Goswami, before describing the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, in his Gita Govinda, first of all sung Keshava Dritta Dashavidha Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare. He described the different forms, 10 principal forms of the Lord. He described them in concisely. So, understanding that Krishna is Vishnu and all the understanding all that, that helps to enhance our appreciation of Krishna. We know also, even the gopis, they know that Krishna previously came as Rama and as Vamana. They say that. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes, please. And we can also appreciate, it's not that we're detestful of different forms of the Lord. What was that? Sri Jaya Deva Kaverida Muditam Udaram. Shrinu Sukadam Shubhadam Bhavasaram Keshava Dhritta Dashavidha Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare. He says that hearing about these different forms of the Lord, that gives happiness and auspiciousness in this material world. So it's not that we're against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he visited Narasimha Mandirs. He told his followers to celebrate Nrisimha Chaturdashi, Ram Navami, as well as Janmashtami. He himself personally, he celebrated Ram Vijayadashami, Ram Navami. So it's not correct to say that Gauriyas, they only concentrate on Radha and Krishna. The original Gauriya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally, although his main focus was certainly on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but he personally relished and taught his followers also to relish the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of the Lord in various forms. Although our main attention is to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, one should not divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. So our main focus is on Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. But again, that Radha Krishna in Vrindavan, the appreciation of that will be enhanced by understanding that same Krishna in Vrindavan is Matsya, Kurama, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, and so on.
Hare Krishna, thanks for this presentation. I have a question. You mentioned about spiritual blind people who don't see Krishna as the spirit person of Godhead. Now, how to convince those people?
How to convince people who do not see? How, if someone tightly closes their eyes and says, there's no sun, how will you convince them? If they are determined not to see, how will you convince them? All good logic, good reason, good evidence is there that the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Lord. But they don't want... Krishna gives them the intelligence to forget him. So we can try our best and pray. We cannot convince anyone. We cannot do anything. We can try, and their heart may change by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of our acharyas. It's not a trying to bring people to Krishna consciousness is not a mechanic. There's no exact formula that if you do this, they will change. We have to try according to the preaching methods given by our acharyas, and that means to speak the message of Krishna, to distribute the books, to hold festivals, to demonstrate the attractiveness of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. We should do what we're supposed to do. Speak about Krishna, chant about Krishna, be Krishna conscious ourselves. But there's no particular line that or method, because people have their foolishness manifests in different ways. Anything else? Hare Krishna. I'll finish here now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.